And we are recording. Let me start, James, by asking you, and the plan of this briefing is you, James, are going to talk about the threat and what you think the capabilities are. We're not going to go back in time to HAARP. We're going to talk about today. And then J.C. Cole, a farmer entrepreneur, is going to talk about solutions. So, James, let me ask you first, just in two or three sentences, tell us about your background and conclude with your most famous book.
Okay, I've been working for 40 years in the electrical nature of the solar system and universe. And what I realized was that weather is very electrical. It's driven by electrical energy. It has very little to do with the solar sunlight that comes into our planet. In fact, we wouldn't have any weather at all if it were only dependent on sunlight. And so I started to realize that there's also a problem with weather reporting and space weather, et cetera, a field that I worked in professionally, literally all my life. So this resulted in a book that I published in around the year 2004 called Principia Meteorologia, the Physics of Sun-Earth Weather. A lot of the work I did with Russian scientists at the University of Novosibirsk in central Russia. They were atmospheric scientists. We collaborated in the mid-1990s and developed what eventually turned out to be weather control systems because we understood the mechanisms that created hurricanes. And it's not warm water, it's electrical currents from the ionosphere. So anyway, the book is very important. It outlines all of this. It goes through the weather of all the planets, especially planet Earth.
So let's move to the next question, which is, I've read, I'm not an expert like you, but I've read a number of books on how advanced the Russians are in scalar, energetics, gravitobiology, and so forth. Why don't you give us a summary of the state of the art today in using satellite-based lasers to manage weather, and give us a breakdown of the order of battle between China, Russia, the United States, and any other players that you think might be out there, including Iran.
Well, the weather manipulation that's going on in the United States right now, and we'll talk about that in Iowa, the straight line winds, the droughts, and then Hurricane Laura is a perfect example of a designer storm that was designed, timing, and place, and in effect to destroy the United States rice crop. This is the United States deep state military doing this. The Russians really don't have anything to do with this. They went to the United Nations in 2000 and reported they wanted the United Nations to declare satellite lasers as a weather weapon. And the United States would not sign that treaty because one of the clauses was that it could not be used against your own population. And that was the clause that it was during the Bush administration. And then that continued into Obama and Hurricane Katrina. Hurricane Laura is a recent example. Hurricane Michael was an example of a hurricane that was designed to disrupt the 2018 midterm election. And I could go on and on.
Well, let me ask you this, because I've said often that 90% of the people working for the U.S. government are good people trapped in a bad system. But it appears to me that when the Nazis won World War II and negotiated a treaty, they took over CIA and NASA. And now Yes. It looks like NASA, NOAA, and the U.S. Air Force have been at least partially captured by the deep state. What are your thoughts on where the U.S. government elements are that are doing this on behalf of the deep state?
Well, the in Boulder, Colorado is where the military control is, the weather control, the satellites, the laser satellites that they're using to control over land and over ocean storm systems. This then, the front agencies are, for example, NOAA, the National Weather Service, the National Hurricane Prediction Center in Boulder, Colorado. These are front agencies to push out totally incorrect science and weather forecasting to the public. And they're using, for example, they're trying to state that climate change is the cause for increased hurricanes, so they can blame it on that. And also the other factors that they want to use to blame weather. And this is, a lot of this is controlled. Not all weather is controlled. And the way they control weather with laser satellites is what we realized with the Russians is that the, first of all, the hurricanes are driven by electric currents from the ionosphere. So with the laser satellites, you can enhance that. You can create hurricanes, you can drive them up, you can drag them around like a bull with a ring in its nose and direct them exactly where you want. Example, Hurricane Laura. Where have you ever seen a hurricane go from category 1 to category 4 in 12 hours? It's impossible. And then they predicted that it would get even stronger. And then it was directed perfectly over the Louisiana-Texas border rice crop and to dump all of the water in Arkansas. And it destroyed this year's rice crop. 50% of the U.S. rice comes from Arkansas. So this was a designer storm designed to destroy a major crop in the United States.
Well, then let me ask you this question, because I've been having some conversations, some very interesting conversations, with some people who are in a position to begin treating traitors like this as enemy combatants outside of the federal legal system, which is designed to fail. Where would you start if you wanted to advise President Trump on a counterintelligence investigation? Who needs to be brought into deep interrogation?
Okay, the CIA controls NASA and the military. It's the intelligence branch of the World Bank. So it goes up to the World Bank. If you see right now, JC is going to talk about the Rockefeller Foundation and the manipulation of food resources, centralizing it, communizing it, creating a communist food system, just like in the Ukraine and like in Russia. And so the CIA is front and center. And it is a top-down situation where they control the deep state military and NASA and NOAA and the news agencies that give out the false information to the public.
Now, these national weather forecasters and the way we teach weather across the United States, is this all carefully controlled so that people don't challenge the official narrative?
Absolutely. And right now, for example, I predicted that in the next 2 months, there's going to be a major false flag event that's going to be promulgated by NASA, moving also into NOAA, where they're going to claim that there's a solar flare that's going to drastically affect Earth, and they're going to create the weather. So the National Weather Service will cover the stories to make it sound like this is all just happening or due to climate change. And then they're going to also shut down the power grid. And this is to affect and destroy the 2020 election and people's ability to get out and vote.
Well, we know that when solar flares happen, they can in fact affect the grid if the grid is on. But if you turn the grid off, then it survives. Is that correct?
Well, in a sense, what's going on out there is if there's a real EMP, it's going to affect the grid if it's on or off. What you have to do is segment the grid. And this we talked about in a previous interview. But you have to, the shunts and the diodes, et cetera, that segment the grid during a real EMP or surge event, originally designed by Tesla, very good system, it has to be beefed up. And what happens is the inductors, the shunts, isolate segments of the grid so that it doesn't pass from one element to the other.
As you talk about this threat, I'm thinking to myself two things. The first is, if you had unlimited money and the presidential authority, how long would it take you to basically protect the grid?
About 6 months.
All right,
most of that time would be to actually produce the oversized shunts and circuit breakers, et cetera, to isolate the grid during an outage.
That's a very helpful answer. Now, here's my second question. I mean, I talked to a few Chinese, Russians, even the occasional Iranian, and I have a lot of respect for them. Is it possible that President Trump needs to have his own intelligence agency? And maybe he does have his own intelligence agency that is multinational in nature. Is it possible he already knows all of this? Or do you think he's being blindsided?
I think he's being blindsided, given his reaction to things like Hurricane Laura could have been prevented. Hurricane Michael could have been prevented. That's another case of a hurricane that went from Category 1 to Category 4 in about a 12-hour span. Totally impossible, given that it was making landfall at the time. So I don't think he's aware of it. He went down, he made a speech at in Florida and went to help the people there, but is, I believe he's completely unaware of the methods that to dispel the energy in a hurricane and the various techniques that are being used to drive these hurricanes. I think he's oblivious to this.
All right, one last question. If I had presidential authority and a battalion of Army Rangers with fixed bayonets, could you identify 100 people up whose ass I can put those bayonets?
No. The deep state is truly deep state. In the military, I personally don't know the people that are doing this.
So we have but to I start with you, Boulder, Colorado, and interrogate our way up the chain.
Exactly. And it's very high in the command chain.
Yeah, because I think 90% of these people have no clue that they're part of a mass atrocity. Right. All right, let's stop there and turn to J.C. Cole. Now, we have been talking, and I've done a post, and I'm going to do another post on food shortages and weather warfare. J.C. Cole, you are the author of the Gray Swan series, which is an extraordinary series of all of the vulnerabilities across the United States from decades of deliberate mismanagement. So tell us a little bit about yourself and then segue into your evaluation of the food supply chain as it looks for the next year and a half.
Thank you, Robert. Yes, just a little bit, I spent 18 years in Eastern Europe, and so I experienced the collapse of the Soviet supply chain. When I came back to the United States and I started to identify and I saw our vulnerabilities, I said, oh my goodness, because of our economics of scale of food production, the majority of our food is produced 2,000 miles away from New York City, and I'm fairly close to that. And if that goes down, we're in trouble. So I looked at all the vulnerabilities and came up with what I would consider, one is we have no food security in the United States. And food security means both production and access to it. You know, of course, COVID-19, whatever you look at it as, it started to collapse the supply chain. So the solutions are that we have to recreate a very strong and healthy food grid that we had back in the 1960s when we were all kids. We knew that the dairy was right down the road and the farms were right down the road. But we're somewhat, we're somewhat behind the eight ball in that we have a shortage of farmers already. The average age of a farmer is about 65, and our farms are almost under financial attack. And so what do we do to increase our growing capabilities throughout the country so that, let's say, 20% of all food needed in a region is grown within 3 hours or 30 miles of that region? And so that's what I've been working on. And there is the first thing that we need to do is protect our existing farms and upgrading them so that the threats facing them have been neutralized, such as some of Professor McCanny's stuff of putting in EMP, a lack of a better word, circuit breakers, or hardening the local farm. So that if
his windmills.
Yes, and the windmills, alternative energies where the farm can continue to run if the local electricity goes out. So that starts to be a pretty heavy investment for your individual farmer. And your individual, so food security cannot be placed on the back of the farmers. We have to, and security of the United States is the responsibility of all Americans. So one of the ways to do this across the country is obviously design a very simple prototype that can be put in place, like Professor McCanny said, he can harden the grid in 6 months. Well, we can harden most of our farms the same within 6 months so that they can continue to produce food year round. And that that secures local populations that they have food. They don't have a threat of starvation. And then of course this the second part of it is how do you need more farms, let's say on the East Coast now. So you have to also create a funding mechanism to create them. Now we've got to do it quickly. And one of the models which I looked at was when you look at like McDonald's, for instance, as soon as all approvals are done, received from a township, it only takes like 45 days to build a complete McDonald's. You can do that with farms if you have the guys design it correctly. Just a team comes in, puts in hydroponics, aquaponics, Professor McCanny's windmills, battery banks, you know, instead of the farmer trying to do it individually himself. So literally we can do that, but the only way to do that is to tap into a significant amount of funds. And I look at it as the responsibility of the United States government to provide the funds because it's so a security.
You're talking issue. About turnkey farms with people trained up just like a McDonald's franchise. And then you have roving teams that help keep them on track. And of course the shopping correct. Malls, the shopping malls that the professor as that James has talked about could also be used.
Correct. And so you probably come up with about five different models. One for a traditional farm like we have, which is like 50 acres to 100 acres. But then you could take another model for shopping malls, empty shopping malls. And by the way, that was my background. I'm a real estate developer where there was no market. You know, in Eastern Europe, there was no market. So you can have a team come in and probably outfit a shopping mall in less than a month. And then the same for, let's say, inner city. You know, you have an awful lot of empty buildings inner city. And, you know, now it's not a full farm. You're not going to be bringing cows and stuff, but you can put in hydroponics and aquaponics and get those things functioning. And you can back them up. We have all the technology. We have the skills. And actually, I told you a little bit earlier that I did a SWOT analysis is what the business people use, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And when you look at that, we have incredible strength in this country. And we also have the opportunity, but the threats can be devastating unless we balance them off.
JC, let me ask you this. You've talked about over-specialization, and you've referred to the incubation of chickens particularly. Why don't you talk about where we're weak in that area?
Well, that's just an interesting microcosm because that's where I focus. For instance, the chicken egg is one of the best protein sources, animal protein sources you can get, and it's the easiest to make. Talk a lot and that's better. So
you really need
am I there?
A computer. James,
wait a minute,
somebody
wait
sold
a minute.
Him on Where the idea of this light thin laptop, which doesn't work. All right, go ahead, JC.
Am I back?
No.
Let me interject something here, Robert, while he's arranging there, if I can.
I'm listening. James, go ahead.
What I wanted to say, Robert, is we have two issues. One is the immediate issue that the American industries are being destroyed right now. And we have to stop California governor from blocking the production of 50% of our food because he's using COVID-19 false positives on a test to shut down all of the farms that's happening in Michigan.
And factories. Factories are also suffering from this.
Absolutely. So we have that immediate issue that, and things like weather warfare, NASA with their false flag, solar flare thing that's coming up here, et cetera, during the fall harvest. So we have that immediate need. A longer term issue is developing malls, et cetera. But you also have to be careful not to put this, there's a lot of people talking about creating a Department of Homeland Security type of agency to oversee food in the United States. And that's exactly what we don't need.
No, in fact, I agree totally. Dismantling the Department of Homeland Security, which has been the primary source of false flag active shooter operations in the United States. So, JC, let's come back to you, and I hope you'll get a new laptop. What do you want to finish off with here?
Well, Professor McKinney's correct. We have to take almost immediate action to stop blocking of the production of food, and it's happening Washington State, it's happening in California, it's happening in Michigan, it's happening in New York State, and if they use COVID-19 to block the migrant workers, we lose the harvest.
Use COVID-19 to block the migrant workers, we lose the harvest.
Correct. All right. And while we'll be able to get through to next year, if they continue this, if we lose the planting of the 2021 planting season, we're in deep trouble, right? So there's a bunch of different areas that we have to concentrate on. One, protecting our harvest now. Then upgrading our existing farms and then creating more farms.
Let me ask you guys.
And in the control of local communities.
Yes, keep the control local. It's clear to me that the U.S. intelligence community is worthless when it comes to domestic decision support for the president. It's equally clear to me that the Department of Agriculture has its head up its ass and is never going to be useful to the White House. Am I wrong on that? Who does the analysis
correct.
For the president?
Yeah.
Professor McKinney, please.
Okay. Yeah, it's very clear that nobody's really in charge of this country. How can a state governor of California or Michigan or New York or Virginia, where the apple crop is not being harvested, how can a local governor block food from the entire nation based on what we now know is a bogus reason?
Let me also point out that those factories and those farms are part of the interstate commerce system under the authority of the president.
Right, right. And when you're dealing with a national emergency, which we are dealing with, a lot of people don't realize this. You know, while the mainstream media is concentrating on rioters in the street, calling them peaceful protests, these other things are going on in the background unnoticed.
I want to draw to a close. JC, do you have a last word?
No, I think that we have to put the package together and get it in front of the president somehow.
Well, I would certainly be pleased if the two of you cared to work on a memo for the president. I think this video will be seen by enough people. It's clear to me that we are looking at both a food crisis and traitors at NASA, NOAA, and in the U.S. Air Force who are deliberately, with malice aforethought, seeking to destroy the U.S. economy, and that requires a presidential counterintelligence task force.
Absolutely. I wrote for you, Robert, it's on your webpage. It's a documentary, or it's a short write-up about what is known as Holodomor, which was the mass starvation in the Ukraine in the early 1930s. It was orchestrated when Russia came in, took over, collectivized the farms, destroyed the free economy, agriculture, and we are seeing exactly the same thing here, where they're destroying the farms, the distribution chains, the ability to harvest, and within 2 years, there was mass starvation in the Ukraine.
I would say we're seeing it here stealth, that they're hiding behind it. They're not using, let's say, direct force, but like Stalin did, but they're using legal actions which they created.
All right, let me end this, and I'll sum it up by saying I'm compellingly persuaded by both of you that the United States is under a weather war attack from the deep state, and the President of the United States does not appear to be doing what he needs to do to stop it. And I believe that we are under a food attack and the imminent threat of a major food shortage. And again, the president and his people are not doing what they need to do in order to stop that. Is that a fair assessment of the situation?
Correct.
We Yes. end on that note. God bless both of you. God bless America, and God bless the President of the United States and the First Lady, Melania Trump.